Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're interviewing today Ken Timmerman. Ken is the author of the book, The Election Heist. And back when the book was published, it was prior to the full fruition of what we're seeing today with the election being stolen. And yet he had, not in a predictive form, but in writing it based on intelligent research, had looked at and analyzed the potentiality. That's what we see taking place. Ken, I'm looking at an article here, and it came from Facebook, but it was a Christian gentleman that wrote it. It's about a 2 or 3 page. I'm going to look at a paragraph of it. The election is war, real war, for control, power, money, domination. So don't expect the enemy to play fair, have honorable conduct, or to the face or to look at it from the standpoint and demonstrate any ethics. It is absolutely a brutal war, nothing less. The leftists have prepared well for this moment. They've taken years to rewrite educational material, to study, to take over our media, to infiltrate our churches, to infiltrate every facet of our lives. They've used coronavirus as a tool to shut down or cripple worship services. They've been successful at undercutting our very way of life. Compromising pastors have marched in appeasement with clenched fist, giving approval and credibility to the Marxist traitors. Christians followed the Laodiceanism and lost their fervor for the service and loyalty to Jesus Christ as King of Kings. Christians are warned. We're warned. We all knew bad things could happen, but most never believed that it would be this way in America. And he goes on to talk about the godliness and so forth. Do you see this election as having any, if I would put it in my vernacular, a point of demarcation from where we have been as a godly nation to where we will be going if this vote, this stolen election, if it stands? What do you see, Ken, as the indelible changes in America? Chuck Schumer, you know, standing out of the off the running board of his car in a crowd of Biden praisers, said, "Give us the 2 Senate races in Georgia, and we will absolutely take America." And then he says, "We will change America." He said, "First take right. the world," and then he says, "Change America." What does he mean by right. that from your perspective?
Well, what Chuck Schumer was saying very specifically was that if the Democrats gain control of the Senate with just 50 seats and they have the presidency, they can essentially do whatever they want, specifically bring in 2 new states, Washington, D.C., Puerto Rico, that would give them a guaranteed extra 4 Democrat senators for a long time. They will repeal the filibuster, pack the courts, and pass laws that will affect us for a generation, if not for 2. They want to do Medicare for all. They want to do the Green New Deal, which is, you know, trillions and trillions of wasteful spending. They want to control our lives in every way. Joe Biden has already said that he wants to restore the so-called racial sensitivity training that President Trump recently banned in the federal government. This is the sensitivity training that essentially takes white workers and makes them apologize for being white. It is racist by its very nature. Joe Biden wants to reimpose that. I've got to say, though, you know, coming, you know, in from a moral perspective, though, when the lie is taken for truth, we are living in truly dangerous times, in evil times. And I think it's time for each one of us as Christians who believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light to stand up for the truth. We must each of us become witnesses to the truth.
Ken, you're exactly right. And with that, I ask a question. From your perspective, you get about across the nation and around the world. You have a good insight on society and societal changes. What do you feel, from your perspective, is the cause of silence in our pulpits, warning Americans, warning Christians of the dangers ahead? What is the causative factor, in your opinion, of that?
You know, in one way, I don't think pastors are any different than ordinary people. If you're surrounded by a sea of hostility, you know, you got to stay quiet. If I used to live up in suburban Maryland, okay, I was the Republican nominee for Congress in a suburban district in Maryland in 2012, and I would, you know, walk down the street in my town and see, you know, signs for Democrat candidates all over the place. A neighbor tried to rip down many times my signs for George W. Bush, and you know, you're in a sea of hostility, and you make yourself very small. Now, I don't personally, but I can understand that many people do. The other thing, of course, is the Johnson Amendment, which has been used for generations by the Democrats to cow Republican pastors not to talk about politics for the pulpit. While, of course, in many, many, many African-American churches, that is done all the time with no adverse impact. So there's a mix of it. But I think that being in that hostile sea, I think, is very important. We are social creatures, and we respond to that kind of hostility by making ourselves very small, for the most part.
Well, one of the things, and you touched on it, but in a little different way, I've said most pastors are too concerned about numbers, nickels, and noses. They don't want to offend anybody. But my position has historically been that if you're saved, blood bought, Bible saved, born again, you cannot adhere to the fundamental planks and the policies of the Democratic Party, i.e., the sodomite lifestyle, the LGBTQ lifestyle, the pushing and the promotion of murder by way of abortion. If we didn't look at anything but those two things, it'd be an impossibility for a Christian to adhere to that and to be a proponent of that. I'm looking at an article that says, if you believe that Biden won, you have simply suspended reality. The article is pretty castigating, four pages. I'll read two paragraphs. Anyone who factually believes that Joe Biden won this election is a moron, a fool, or both. Common sense dictates no other opinions. Not even Democrats and or people in the Biden campaign really believe that he actually won. The Biden campaign enjoyed with the Democrats and the media are cheering that the moment it appears the cheating has worked. The socialist ideological and anarchist are beside themselves with glee. But what happens if truth prevails? There was a massive voter fraud and corrupt counting practices at a level that's beyond quantifying based upon the scale of cheating. How will the cheaters feel if they're exposed and justice finally prevails? What if, as long as those responsible for the political fraud that stripped honest Americans of their rights to participate in a non-rigged elections end up in handcuffs, ankle chains, federal prison, jumpsuits, in prison, vans, going into federal courts? Biden is a stumbling, bumbling reprobate, a liar who has spent his entire 47 years in political office attempting to make gain at the expense of the taxpayers. Despite his longevity in office, it wasn't until his crack junkie son got involved with the entire Biden family that Biden became flush with cash. He goes on to talk about the Biden family cabal, Hunter Biden and his cash, and how he has gotten away with it. And the bottom line is, Ken, that as we speak to our listeners today, we need to understand, our listeners need to understand, that the election is on the very eve of being stolen. Now, speak to the issue, if you would, from the standpoint of this attempt to steal the election. What are the cures? What's available to President Trump? How can we, the people, be actively involved to hold his hands up, to pray for him, and to encourage him? What do you see as he's challenged now in five of the battleground states? He's challenging the votes. What do you feel will be the outcome of that? Should he continue with that process, or should he do as Mitt Romney has suggested, just go ahead and concede and stop the fight? What is your stand on that? What do you say to those that would take that position?
Thank God the President of the United States is named Donald J. Trump and not Mitt Romney. Thank God we've got a fighter, somebody who is, look, this guy didn't need this. He was a billionaire. He had a wonderful lifestyle. He was happy. He had a beautiful family. He didn't need to undergo the slings and arrows of the media and the Democrat Party for the past 4 years. He did it for us. He did that for us, and he's fighting today for us. And he's got a great team of lawyers. They are out there in all of these battleground states. Sidney Powell, who's one of the lead lawyers, has identified 450,000 ballots in one, two, three, four, five states. I'm going to tell you about it in just a second. In five states that were just voted for Joe Biden. No down the ballot races were ticked off at all. And this is pretty unusual, especially when you hear the quantities, the number of these ballots. I'm going to tell you in just a second. It looks like these were voted very, very quickly in the middle of the night by election officials when there are no election observers available. 450,000 in Pennsylvania, 98,000 ballots just for Joe Biden. Biden has won by less than half of that as a percentage, 24,000 votes. Georgia, they're between 80 to 90,000 ballots. Biden's margin is around 10,000. Arizona, 42,000 of these Biden-only ballots. His margin in Arizona is now shrunk to about 10,000. Michigan, they're anywhere between 69,000 and 115,000 ballots. Here, that's about the margin that Biden won by. Wisconsin, there's 62,000 of these, which, again, if all of those were disqualified, they would give Wisconsin to President Trump and the election and his reelection as president of the United States. And this is just one of the gimmicks that they use to steal the election. Remember, I mentioned up above, they are taking an all-of-the-above approach. The Democrats are taking an all-of-the-above approach. They're using every possible means, every trick in the book. They're hacking the tabulators, as I've gone through in my book, The Election Heist. They are stuffing the ballot boxes, as Sidney Powell just revealed here, with these 450,000 single-candidate ballots. They're doing everything they possibly can, keeping the poll watchers out of the area. What can we do? We can support the president in every way. If there are rallies in your area, go to a rally. If you can give money, give money. He needs to fund this recount. Go on social media. Talk to your friends. Do not stay silent. Do not be quiet.
Ken, let me touch on this before we elaborate further. That's the reason I asked the question. One of the things that we've done from a ministry standpoint, we've just sent out about 6,000 PDFs for people to fill out and mail directly to the White House. It says, President Trump, defend my vote, hashtag stop the steal. The Democratic Party with Big Tech are working to steal this election and cancel your vote for President Trump. You still have to make his voice and our voice is heard. Goes on to talk about what you can do, and this is a two-page memo that we've sent out. And if, for those that are listening, if you want to receive this, and I urge you to do so, you can contact us by going to info@conservative.edu, info@conservative.edu. Leave your name and email address. We will be delighted to have our staff forward this directly to you. It's in PDF form, so all you do is pull it up, fill out the blanks, and upload it directly to the White House, or you could choose to call the White House, or you could choose to send it in snail mail and send it out. But we want to be involved. We want to hold the president's hands up to say that we voted. We want our vote counted. Now, this does not mean that they're going to count this that we send in as a vote. That's not alluding to that at all. But it is holding the hands up of the president, letting him know that we stand with him on doing the battle for us, that all of our votes would be counted, that there shall be some modicum of success with that. Ken, go ahead with your thoughts and comments in relationship to that for our listeners. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your call goes directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question or comment. Do you have any questions you'd like to ask Ken today? Comments about the election heist and what is taking place?
Pastor, I think that's a terrific initiative because what you're essentially doing, you're getting thousands of people to lift up the president. We
yes.
need to support him. We can lift him up with our voices, with our souls, with our support, so he can feel that he can be confident knowing that he has this popular support. And we've seen this all throughout the election. Why do so many people show up for Trump rallies? In Arizona, they had a car rally 96 miles long. 96 miles long.
Yes.
I did the math on that for a pickup truck, you know. And if it's 40 feet, I'm being, you know, really generous with a little extra space, 40 feet and two people in each one of them, that's 25,000 people in 100-degree heat on the side of the road, because Republicans don't block the road. They were off on the side of the road, right? And 96 miles long. Joe Biden, even when he, you know, the eve of the election, he had 200 Jeeps loaned by the local Jeep dealer honking for him when he did a rally. I mean, so we need to lift up the president. We lift him up in our hearts, and we lift him up by sending him these emails or letters. I think that's a great idea.
Amen. Well, one of the things, and you touched on it, I want us to elaborate further for our listeners to understand the quagmire that we're in with this election cycle. If this stands, if Biden is successful with the fraud, if the treason is ultimately validated, and it is treason, if that's ultimately validated, what does that do for the future of America? Will we have an America as we've known for 244 years, or will it be an indelibly changed, different America? And what would that do to our Bill of Rights and for the future of religious liberties in America, Ken?
I am fearful for our nation should this election be stolen. And I would not call it validated, because it will never be validated. It will be stolen. They will have stolen this election. It just bodes horribly for our nation, and it tells the Democrat leaders in Washington, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, that they can get away with anything. They can get away with, you know, literally anything, and I'm afraid they will try to get away with anything in the future.
Well, one of the things that is horrific in my thinking is Biden has now already stated that when he is sworn in, his promise, he will institute, number one, a national federal mask mandate. Secondly, he has said that he would follow the science in locking down business again if he felt that was necessary. Thirdly, he has stated that priority number one would be to institute the LGBTQ agenda that was discovered in, or which was revealed, I should say, in House Bill 5, introduced and passed in the House with 240 votes February of 2019, now languishing on the desk in the Senate with 47 senators signing on board with it, which literally would trounce any religious liberties, any religious freedoms. And so from that standpoint alone, Ken, from the Christian perspective, we must stand and be salt and light and not bow and bend to the whims and the wishes of Joe Biden and his followers. Simply put, we're talking about the stealing of the election, and Joe Biden is now flying under the radar and being called by the media as the president-elect. Talk about that I spoke of in the monologue coming on. Should he be called the president-elect, and what does it mean to call one president-elect, and why is that different from what is reality?
No, he should not be called president-elect. Just think back to the 2000 election, Bush v. Gore. For 37 days, you had no president-elect. Neither George W. Bush nor Al Gore called themselves the president-elect. Why? Because the election was still contested and there were no official results. Today, the election is being contested by the president, not just in one state, but in five states, and the president has not conceded. The media does not determine who is the president-elect. Our Constitution determines who that person is. And there's a constitutional procedure which has just begun, and it will not come to a conclusion until December 14th when the Electoral College meets and determines who will be the president. Now, there's a lot of steps that have to be taken before then, and a lot of bad things could happen. There could be states where the Republican legislature does not accept the result because of massive fraud and appoints their own set of electors that would be in competition with those of a Democrat governor, think Michigan, for example. One other thing I wanted to add to your list of your list of horror stories that we could expect out of a Democrat Congress with a Democrat president, they want to institute nationwide mail-in voting, automatic mail-in voting, so that every person on the voter rolls, whether you're dead, whether you're living in Cuba,
or we've lost you, Ken.
I said what they want to do is have universal mail-in voting for everybody on the voter rolls in every state, no matter whether they're living or dead or moved out or are ineligible, and in some cases are non-citizens. So that's another thing that they want to do in Washington should they be declared the winner of this election.
Ken, I'm looking at an article that says Michigan lawsuit. Election workers coached voters on how to pick Biden. The Great Lakes Justice Center has filed a lawsuit in Detroit alleging election fraud in 2020 presidential election. And it goes on to talk about, and I'll just touch on two or three. They've got about nine things listed here that took place. Speak to this in relationship to federal election laws. It says, number one, ballots were counted even though the voter's name did not appear in the official voter roll. Two, election workers were ordered not to verify voter signature on the absentee ballots and even backdate absentee ballots and to process such ballots regarding their validity. Number three, election workers processed ballots that appeared after the election deadline, falsely reporting the ballots as being received by the 3rd of November. Number four, defendants used false information to process ballots, and such using incorrect false birthdays. Many times the election workers inserted new names in the ballot, recording their new voter identification and birth dates as being different. Number five, defendants coached voters to vote for Biden and the Democratic Party. Election workers went to the voting booths with the voters to watch them and to coach them and to assist them, and the list goes on and on and on. Ken, just from the federal election law, should those votes be counted or should they be summarily discounted?
They should be discounted. And that, by the way, I was reading through that list myself this morning. That is just an extraordinary indictment of massive, massive fraud. Again, every trick in the book the Democrats were using, and that was just in Detroit, and I'm sure you're going to see the same thing in Philadelphia and Atlanta. They were using every trick in the book to steal the election. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that we read about from Tammany Hall, you know, 50, 60, 70 years ago, 80, yes. 90 years ago. What am I saying? You know, nobody would think that in today's America, where you believe that you have transparency, the internet and you know, closed circuit TV and all kinds of other things, you would think they couldn't get away with it, but they're getting away with it right in front of our eyes, and they don't seem to care that they've been caught. I think what the Democrats believe is that they have enough judges still at the state level to throw out these lawsuits, and they will run out the clock before December 14th and before the president and his lawyers are able to get these cases up to the Supreme Court, which is where they belong.
Ken, speak to the issue, and we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the stealing of this election, a stolen election. And we're speaking about the fact that as Christians, we need to be involved, we need to be informed, and we need to take a stand as salt and light. We need to hold the president's hands up, number one, by emails, writing, letting him know that we're standing with him, and number two, by holding him up in prayer. Ken, I found it intriguing, challenging, fascinating, and encouraging. Yesterday, he was to have a some kind of presentation before one of the courts in one of the states, I think it was Michigan, and he put out a notice inviting Christians to pray for him at 5 o'clock yesterday. I don't know of any other time in the history of America, in my lifetime at least, that we've had a president publicly ask Christians to pray for him.
Yes. Isn't that extraordinary? And remember how the left was trying to paint Donald Trump as being an immoral, horrible person? And yet this is the only president who's actually made this kind of public call to prayer. He's gone to the National Prayer Breakfasts. He has gone to the Right to Life marches in Washington. He has appointed pro-life judges, Supreme Court judges who will respect the Constitution. This president has done everything I think we could possibly hope for a president to do, and that is one of the reasons the left is determined to destroy him and to destroy us. They want us to be permanently cowed. They want us to shut up for good. Let me just give you one more example of this. There's one of the witnesses in that Michigan court case had a hashtag Detroit Leaks. He had gotten access to training sessions for poll workers in Detroit ahead of time and published this online. Well, he was threatened with criminal prosecution by the state attorney general in Michigan if he didn't immediately take down all of these videos that he had put up with the election training. And as you could hear the people's voices on these in the audio, and you can see the kind of the stuff that they were training people to do, exactly what you just mentioned, backdating ballots, discarding Republican ballots, making sure that invalid ballots were voted, provisional ballots went into the ballot box where they could no longer be separated out. I mean, all of these different things to cheat. And it's all out there, and now this person is going to be destroyed by the Michigan Attorney General.
Absolutely. Ken, we've got about 30 seconds left. Here's an article that says, Michigan County Clerk discovers total votes counted by election software did not match the printed tabulation tapes. And that's exactly what you spoke of earlier, was the fact that it could be converted by your ballot going in. Speak to that just very briefly as we close, as we challenge our listeners to continue in prayer for our election.
Well, again, that suggests the scenario for my book, The Election Heist, where a computer software patch has been uploaded into the system to change the count, to change the vote count.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with Ken Timmerman today. His book, The Election Heist, go on Google or Amazon and order the book. I believe it'd be worth your time and your dollars to do so. Thank you so much for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
South of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also, tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 and on Sunday mornings at 8 on 100.3 FM for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety at 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. Tune in and invite others to listen.